everyone. Welcome back to the Butts UK podcast. It's episode 80, and boy, this is the big one. It's the special one. It's our pre-Munich show. The next episode that you see us, it will be after the Munich game. We'll have been there watching the Bucks versus Seattle, and what a weekend I'm sure it's going to be. Our patches are out, as Phil shows you there, and we can't wait for that weekend. So, as I've said today, I've got two Phils with me, in fact. I've got Phil Jones, I've got Phil Bushby, and Tim is with me as well. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Alex.
Evening, Alex.
Thanks for joining me on this one, guys. This is going to be a good one. So, let's get just straight into it. Let's discuss the win over the Rams. What a game that was. Phil, I'll come to you first. Give us your overall thoughts on that game.
Yeah, I think it was a game that was very frustrating for the most part. I think it followed the line of the last kind of three or four Bucks games where we tried to get the run going and just would get nothing. Then we abandoned the run and the passing game wasn't working, and it just felt like it was all going to be one of those frustrating games that could have been. And then the last 44 seconds, we just pull it from absolutely out of nowhere. You know, Scotty Miller turns up who dropped, you know, the catch in the end zone that would have put us up earlier in the game. You know, he comes up clutch with a couple of good catches. Kay Dotton comes up with a great catch. And then we pull it out of the bag with a touchdown for Otten at the end of the game as well. So, you know, an absolutely fantastic ending, as everybody who was at the meetup in Birmingham would agree. You know, I'm sure, you know, to clutch a great victory out of such a frustrating game like that was absolutely brilliant. But I think, you know, it's definitely built on some great play from our defense who played a lot better than they have done in the last few games, and from amazing special teams as well. You know, what a punter we have at the moment. To come through the first kind of nine games of the year and say that he's probably, you know, arguably our MVP is fantastic. Well, it's not fantastic for the offense and the defense, but it's fantastic to have someone so good on special teams, I guess.
Tim, nice to break that losing streak.
Very much so. My headline was a much-needed win. We've looked quite poor over the last four or five games. I wrote down here 59 minutes of what we've become accustomed to this season, 1 minute of what we've become accustomed to since Brady joined us over the last 2 years. That drive, as soon as that drive started, the pace increased. The feeling was it was just going to happen. You just knew, because that's the Brady and the way we play. And I'll talk about the running game a bit later because that's pretty painful to watch at this moment. But yeah, let's hope this is the start of the drive now.
Yeah, it's funny you should say about that 1 minute and 59 minutes, because there was an email going through about this pod tonight, and someone said, can we gloss over the 59 minutes and 16 seconds of Sunday's game? I'll let you guess who that is by the smile that you probably see on the screen right now. Phil, I mean, you've said already you don't remember much about the game, but it's good to get a W as always.
Yeah, well, it was one hell of a party in Birmingham, so you can't blame any of us for that. It was. Like Tim said, it was a very much needed win, and you could tell at the end of the way they were celebrating, it just looked like we'd made the Super Bowl. They were just all hugging and high-fiving. It just reminded me of the bad old Bucks when losing became a habit. And, you know, you could see on Brady's face, you know, they were dropping, you know, Mike Evans was as guilty, I think, as Scotty Miller, be quite honest. I know he got hit pretty hard in the first half, but, you know, he dropped balls and they all were making mistakes. And it just smacked me of a team that was trying too hard. So that win is, I hope, the turning point. I really do. And I've got a feeling it's going to be, you know, you've got Brady at the helm, and I think we could well turn it around now a bit and make a run to the playoffs, because let's face it, we're in the worst division in the NFL. And, and I thought the defense did well as well. You know, there's one or two players are starting to show. You know, I know Joe Tryon, whose second name I can never remember, I'm not convinced he's going to. I think he's going to be okay. I really do. Yeah.
You said about the team trying too hard. Do you think the team just wanted to give it back to the fans and the coaches after those previous losses?
I think they just wanted to rebuild the confidence. I think they wanted to get a winning run together, anything to have a bit of luck. But you could see it wasn't just Brady's head that was falling, it was everybody's head that was falling, you know, and they weren't getting onto each other. They were just sort of, It was like watching the bad old books, quite honest. And then that, when I saw them at the end, it was, they were euphoric. Never seen anything like it. It was, and I've just got a feeling that that could be the lift. That could be the boost, you know, give us a push. Dafter things have happened in football.
Indeed, absolutely. And you said about, you know, the reaction at the end, some of the pictures are just, I say, it's as though we won the Super Bowl game. It looked like a massive relief to the team, especially going into what is going to be a very big game in Munich. You know, with the time difference for both teams coming over, it's going to be huge for them there. So offensively, Tim, it was, is a mixed bag, fair to say, for the offense?
A very mixed bag. If I come to the running game, and I know this was spoken about heavily on Sunday evening, the ability of Byron Leftwich to call a run up the backside of the guard every first down of the game. We've got two running backs with pace between them. Fournette has got more pace than what you think, plus the power, and Rashad White is very good in space. We seem to be one of the few teams in the league who cannot run to space. But whether that's coaching to say you're going to take it straight up the middle, or whether the backs are just not good enough to see that that is taken away and to try and bounce it outside, we are very much set on every play we do. Nobody will ad-lib anything. But then you saw Brady's comment in the week of the last drive where he insisted that this is the play that will work. I wonder how much Brady's influence is now going to start to come into. I'm going to call a few more plays myself. Leftwich's call of the run sets up play action. No, play action can also set up the run. And he's got to mix this up a lot more. Or I'm afraid the guy could be looking for a new job very, very soon.
Phil B, do you think the team are certainly offensively just badly coached? Does this fall all on Leftwich?
It's hard to know, really, isn't it? You know, from us on the outside, all we see is, you know, a group of coaches that don't really show a great deal of emotion on the sideline. And I think when things aren't going well, that just lends you to the impression that they're not really firing people up. They're not passionate. They're not, you know, calling people out when they make mistakes. But then at the same time, we're not executing well. You know, Miller's drop in the end zone. Kieran made the point on Sunday that you're taught to catch with your hands, and he's kind of letting it come in, trying to come into his body and catch it. You know, you think of the Carolina game where early on Mike Evans dropped that walk-in touchdown. You know, when's Mike Evans ever done that over the last few years? So I think it's a little bit of a mixture of both. I think we need to make sure that we're executing as well as kind of changing things up and being a bit more creative in the coaching. But I think it's, as Phil said, you know, reminding him of the bad old Bucks. I think when you're losing week after week and when the confidence is down and when the media and the fans are on your back, I think, you build up that pressure and maybe you snatch at things a little bit more and you're a little bit more tense. So I think getting that monkey off the back and getting that win hopefully gives us a bit more confidence and we can relax a little bit more and make our plays now.
I'm going to quickly play devil's advocate with you because I'm in that mood. You said about the execution, which I agree with you on, is, you know, we have to execute the plays. Could we argue that that comes from confidence within the coaching team?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it does, but none of us know really how the players feel about the coaches. You know, they don't come out and criticise. It's tough, isn't it? You know, if you look back at Brady's first season, those first couple of games, Bruce Arians came out and you know, said the quarterback play needs to be better and he's calling players out in the public and, you know, it gets a response and it gets a reaction and we're just not seeing that from the coaches. So maybe that bond isn't there yet. I don't know. Maybe Bowles kind of comes off as a player-friendly coach. So does that have an effect where they feel they can step off a bit? I don't know. But certainly something needs to change in terms of, you know, the majority of the last three or four games that we've had and we need to mix something up and get things going because it's not looked like the same Bucks team as the last 2 years, even though a lot of the personnel is the same. And it can't all come down to just losing three guys off the offensive line, surely.
I mean, very fair points there. I think, you know, I go back to when Bowles was DC, defensive coordinator, that a lot of players did come out and say how nice he was. You know, is he too nice? Like you say, we don't know. We are just you know, just expressing our thoughts here. Who knows? It's all very fair points there.
But Alex, all we're looking for is a bit of variation. Everybody knew on Sunday. So if we know in a pub in Birmingham, 5,500 miles away, you can't tell me Sean McVay and the Rams didn't know what was going to come on that first play. And virtually every series for the first four or five was exactly the same play call.
I can tell you, Tim, that every team knows what's coming. Because I don't know if people have seen, but there was actually a video tweeted out by the Ravens where their defense on the sideline are saying, first down, let's get ready for the run. Every team knows what's coming. For me, it's just not enough creativity on the offense. Apologies for the bad pun here, but you can read us like a playbook. You really, really can. Yeah. It is that obvious sometimes. We could go on about Byron Leftwich and that coaching for ages, but let's talk about...
Interesting, though, on the touchdown at the end of the game, I think they're all expecting Brady just to hand it off for Fournette for that 1 yard. So maybe 59 minutes of mind-numbing runs up the middle.
I was interested. I think one of the most interesting thing for me was actually after the game had finished. Did you see how Brady and embrace Leftwich? Mm. You know, that's not two people who are not getting on very well.
No.
You know, it was like pure relief. I mean, Brady's got a smile from ear to ear. Mm-hmm. You know, and what did somebody say was losing can become a habit. Mistakes can become a habit. They play on your mind. And I honestly think that's what the problem was. I think everything was playing on the mind. I mean, you know, we've got two receivers in Godwin and Evans. Probably we're getting to any team in the league. You know, Godwin are getting to most teams as number one, let alone number two. And we just made mistake after mistake after mistake. And it just smacked trying too hard or being aware of the mistakes. It really did.
The one thing I would add about Godwin, are we becoming predictable also using Chris Godwin? If you look at Chris Godwin's catches on Sunday, the vast majority of the season have been virtually a handoff screen run. You very rarely see Godwin now catching a ball, certainly 15, 20 yards downfield. He's very rarely there.
Mm. I think
that's why the guy has got lots of catches, no touchdowns this year. For your number two receiver, all right, I know he missed a couple of games, but your number two receiver hasn't scored this year.
Yeah, I think he's underutilized. I'm surprised he got 36 yards on Sunday because it didn't feel like he was thrown to at all. But yeah, I totally agree with you. We need to get him going kind of beyond the sticks and throw to him there, and it's just not happening yet.
But Phil, 36 yards on 7 catches, I think it was. The mass is not there, is it?
No.
And it should be.
No.
And
it should be. Again, absolutely. Variation. Yes, he's very good at the line of scrimmage, beating one man, two man, but not every play.
No. I do want to move on to a more positive area. And I'd like to have a chat about a certain tight end, Kay Dotton. Phil J, I think he's just growing and growing game by game. He looks like he's going to be a top player.
Yeah, he's fast coming on to Gronk's replacement, and you know he's fast becoming one of Brady's. Brady loves his tight ends, doesn't he? No matter who they were, you go through all the ones he had at New England. He loves them, and really without Cameron Brate, it is Otten, and he's stepping up to the mark, and he really every week he impresses me more and more. You know, so you know, I think we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. This weekend's game is a big. It's probably one of the biggest games we've had since the Super Bowl.
I mean, but for many reasons, other than result wise, there's many reasons. But as you say, a huge game coming up on Sunday. Let's switch to the defense now, gents. Phil J, I'll come back to you again here. They were fired up for it, I thought.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. You know, we haven't got Barrett now, but I think they did well. I mean, you know, Vita Vea was just a complete monster, wasn't he? Like, oh dear, he was even making me wince when he was hitting Stafford. He was actually a superb game. But Hicks was back, wasn't he? Wasn't he? You know, and everybody was saying, well, he's not Ndamukong Suh. He's still a very, very good player. you know, and you can't, you know, their offensive line can't be everywhere. And it's, I just thought it was very coincidental that, you know, Hicks is back and Veya had a superb game, you know. So I was quite impressed with that defense. Yeah. And the secondary did all right as well, you know, apart from that little bit of a relapse with our good friend Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, so the word soft coverage comes to my mind.
Yeah,
I can do that too much. Phil B, Vita Vea, good to see almost the Vita Vea of the last few seasons on Sunday. He was really making a nuisance.
Yeah, I think he's coming for a little bit of, maybe not so much criticism, that might be playing it a bit harsh, but he's, I think, been underwhelming the last few games, and ultimately that has an effect on those around him. You know, if he's not occupying the offensive line, it's harder for the linebackers to then come in and get sacks. So to see him kind of dominating a little bit, he got two sacks himself, you know, it's, that was great to see, because we saw the impact of that. If we go back to the Super Bowl season, when he came back from injury unexpectedly, you know, it wreaked havoc in the playoffs. So he's a massive part of how that defense operates. He makes space for other people. He occupies linemen. And I think him having a big game, you know, showed itself on the rest of the kind of defensive front. I suppose the one bad point on our defense, you know, you talk about the blown coverage with Kupp again, like the playoffs last year. We've not had a turnover, you know, a forced fumble or an interception for five games, which I think is a Bucs record now. And we're one off the NFL record, which I think is six games. Might have been the Jets that did that with the Niners in 2018. But, you know, for a team that, you know, the Gravediggers haven't really been rowing the boat and celebrating, you know, for, it seems like a long time now. So I think that's the next bit that we, you know, if we're starting to get the offense going again and we scored a passing touchdown, then, you know, that's the next step that we need to really focus on and really get the whole unit working.
Shall we say two defensive touchdowns in Munich? How's that sound?
You're hoping for a hell of a lot in Munich, aren't you?
Of course. You know, we're making the journey over there. I want to see a lot over in Munich. Tim, Devin White's been in the spotlight over the past couple of weeks for various reasons. Not all of it positive, to say the least. What did you make of him on Sunday?
More in control of his game. Over the last few weeks, he's been guilty of overrunning, being, it looks as if he's in wrong position, says an uneducated ex-back row forward who has no idea where he should be half the time. He relies a lot on his athletic ability to make the splash plays. Those have dried up since week three or so of this season. He is becoming a good player, but not a class player that we thought he was going to turn into at this moment during the Super Bowl. But again, that could be a confidence element. We're not making the splash plays. Phil took all my stats away from me then of turnovers in history. I had them all written here, Phil. Thanks, mate. You know, the last turnovers we said was Sean Murphy bunting against the Chiefs. When this defense is making big plays, they are unstoppable. They do look a lot better then. We only made one mistake, really, that I can see on Sunday, which was the Cooper Kupp touchdown. Apart from that, we were solid. Nothing spectacular, which is what our defense is normally built on. We're built on making those splash plays, and we're not doing that. So, as we said, is that the next thing to come in Munich? Fingers crossed. But I would be quite happy with a solid defense. It only concedes 13 points a game. You would think Brady would win 9 out of 10 of those games then.
Do you think, just sticking with you for a moment there, Tim, did you, before I go further, did you see Warren Sapp's criticism of Devin White at all over the past week?
I did. Warren Sapp, great player. I'll leave the rest of my thoughts about him to one side. He doesn't play now. He doesn't play in the same position. Yes, he's a great player, but he last played 10 years or so ago, 10, 12 years ago.
But do you think, again, this is guesswork here, I'm just asking purely your thoughts. Do you feel that, you know, Warren Sapp, in terms of a player, we, you know, fucking a legend from that, that standpoint, hearing that from you know, Devin White from a player of his stature, might that just being a little bit of a, you know, unleashed a bit of a fire in White's belly potentially? Like I say, just what are your thoughts on it?
Could do. I would prefer it if Derek Brooks had actually said it. Then you would have taken that and moved with it. So I've just got different opinions about Sapp to a lot of people. Great player.
We'll leave it at that, Lingham. we'll leave it at that. Let's move on to special teams. Phil B, Cam Rada's looking pretty good, isn't he? A punter. I can't believe I'm talking so highly about a punter.
No, I agree. You know, a punter's never normally a favourite player on a team, but there's a number of fans who kind of think Commander's probably our favourite player of the year so far. You know, ever since the first game where he hit the Cowboys scoreboard, you know, with that punt, I think he's absolutely brilliant. Like, the hang time he gets is great, which gives our gunners a chance, you know, to get to the returner. You know, the control he has, I think that one that went for a touchback on Sunday that shouldn't have been a touchback, you know, he downed it on the 1 yard line. I think we were harshly done there. He just looks absolutely phenomenal. To have that poise for a rookie is brilliant. So yeah, I think he's doing a great job. You know, it shows that it was probably the right decision to save that money and to let Pinion go. And you know, he had a few shaky games last year, but you know, through 9 games, Kamada's been pretty much inch perfect so far.
And Tim, kickoff returns, still the same story, really.
Still the same story. Our kick returns in general are, but it was nice to see Darden, you know, actually return a couple. Now, you know, he was returning 10-yard punt, you know, 10 yards per return as a punt returner. There's nothing wrong with that. His one problem for me is he'll beat one man and look immediately either to go to ground or run out of bounds. There's still this. I'm not sure he likes the hit too much at the moment, or it doesn't look as if he does. But in fairness to him, he doesn't drop them and he gets what he can or what he feels he can get out of it. So again, you look at all of those, it's a way of turning the ball back over to the offense. A lot of teams are doing that now. There are not the big plays on returns nowadays.
Let's not jinx him before Sunday with the he does not.
No, sorry.
I still get shivers from Bobo Wilson in London, you know.
So whoever's sitting next to Tim, if you're watching, you know, sitting next to Tim, just, you know, if there's any bad special teams plays, Tim's a guy to look at. Okay. Phil J, Ryan Suckup, he's just. I know he had the blocked the blocked field goal, but he can't really put that on Suckup there. No. But he's generally, you know, he's been a great reliable kicker for us, and he's continuing to do.
I can't believe I'm sitting here talking about our MVP being a punter, and the second MVP is a kicker, and I put another rest of them on doing too badly. I just think, oh, you know, we're not really in such a bad state as this, are we? You know, now Ryan Suckup's been one of the most consistent kickers we've had for years, you know, and this is Matt Bryan, really. And it's just like a breath of fresh air. I just think that it's nice to think we've got two people at those positions that you can rely on, which is something with a luxury we've never had. But I still find it quite incredible that punt is MVP. I just sit here shaking my head thinking, oh dear.
Oh, what do you think the Butch UK end of season awards could be interesting this year? We'll keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah,
okay. Time to hear what's about the game on Sunday. Tom, it looked very similar to the past games, particularly early in the season, with the offense struggling to get going, but the D managing to keep us in the game. And with special teams, Kamada and Suckup especially, playing a good part too. That last drive, however, was Super Bowl season-like. And finally, John, well, it was scrappy, but so much happier flying to Munich with that result. So we've heard from some of our members. We've completed our review of the game against the Rams. It is now time to start looking ahead to the weekend. And there's only one place we're going to start, which is the fact that we are all going to Munich. What a weekend this is going to be. Phil J, this is going to be one for the one, not just for the history books, but for the memories as well.
Yes, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Munich's a beautiful city. And there's a lot going on there. And I'm amazed how many people are going over from the UK. There's a lot going from the club, but there's a lot going from outside of the club as well. You know, we're all going to meet up on the Hofbrauhaus probably on Friday and Saturday night. And it is quite incredible how many people are actually going. It's going to be a great weekend. So much going on, and the NFL have really gone to town and make with it being the first game in Germany, first league game in Germany. It's putting all sorts on. There's so much going on. It's going to be really, really a special event.
And something I just want to say to yourself, Bill, on behalf of everyone at the club, not just yourself, Bill, but David and Kieran as well, is thank you for all your hard work in sorting out the Butch UK visit to Munich. We are, I'm sure you've seen the comments on social media and the forum, but we are truly all very grateful for all the work you three do in setting this trip up. So on behalf of everyone, a massive thank you from all of us. It's going to be an incredible weekend there. We of course had our final watch party as well, Bill, right. Sunday in Birmingham. It seemed like it was one heck of an evening.
Well, when you said about talking about the offense today, I was going to say something like our offense was fantastic on Sunday. They were first to the bar. There was no message from anybody. You know, I've been to all three watch parties this year, and they've just got better and better and better. But the one on Sunday was absolutely momentous. It really was. It was a really good crowd, and the atmosphere when that touchdown went on, the place, it was like, if you have to remember, it was like nearly 12:30 at night. Place went absolutely nuts. And in all fairness, if all you members are watching and you haven't been to a watch party, that was our last one this season, but make the effort next year, because you know they just go on to new levels every single time. It was absolutely superb night. It really, really was.
Absolutely. And if you haven't seen the clip of the celebrations, you can, and there's a way you can do it by going to follow us on our social media. I'm not going to make it that easy for you. So in the link below, in the description below, so you'll see all the links to our social media pages. Please give us a follow. If you have the like button on this video, you've got to do it now. Smash subscribe and click that bell so you're notified every time we upload. Must also say a big thank you to Bucks Report for helping us to promote our podcast. They are a great bunch of guys over there. Again, their link is in the description below. And on the subject of Bucks Report, we also had a special guest with us on Sunday, Phil. We had Gene of Buck What You Heard join us and actually recorded a podcast episode, which is available on our YouTube channel to watch if you've not checked it out. Finish this episode first, then go and watch that one. But Phil, how was that having Gene in Birmingham? That must have been awesome.
It was great. I mean, in all fairness, the amount of work that Kieran put in to actually set everything up with the sound and the lighting and everything was absolutely fantastic. And it was a completely new field for us. We've never actually done anything like that before, you know, with the two of them chatting and live questions from the audience. And it worked like a charm. Everybody came, and you could see one thing that came across for me was the passion that Gene had got, but he also showed the passion of what the UK fans have got too. You know, there were some very passionate questions in that too, and it really was. I can see us doing a lot more of these things as well. You know, doing some interviewing somebody and then having a watch party afterwards. You know, these watch parties and interviews are growing all the time, and It was a phenomenal success. It really was.
And of course, we had three this season, and last year we had two. So we are just slowly growing there as well.
And before we finish on the subject, I'll say a massive thanks to Mariana. She put so much effort into that. I mean, it was worth going along for the cake alone. It was amazing.
Yeah, I've seen all the praise you've been getting, and it seemed like you know, a wonderful job done by you there, Mariana. So also a massive thanks to you for all your hard work there too. Thank you on behalf of everyone again. Thank you for everything you did for that watch party. And last thing on the club update, Phil, you've mentioned it already, but the meetup on Saturday, a superb response. Going to be plenty of Butch UK members there, but that should be a great evening.
Yeah, we can only reserve so many places, and they've all gone. But, you know, it's a big place, you know, but you've got to get there early. There's no way. There's no way. You know, we couldn't reserve anymore. They wouldn't let us. So basically, you know, get there early, get yourself a seat, and enjoy the festivities. Because it sounds like the Buccaneers themselves have got all sorts going on, and they've organised all sorts of different things. So it's going to be a really good night, Saturday. Yeah. Yeah, and Tim's going to buy a round as well, he says. So it's going
to be
great.
Tim. Cheers for that. Thanks.
Yeah. We'll have a conversation about that later, Phil. I'll put it on the Bucks UK expenses.
Oh, fantastic.
But of course, I will for you.
Ah, cheers.
Brilliant. So let's actually look ahead to the game on Sunday now. It is the Buccaneers against the Panthers. The Buccaneers against the Seahawks in Munich at the Allianz Arena, the home of Bayern Munich. I mean, we're all extremely excited about this one. Tim, what's going to happen on that game, do you think? How's this going to go?
Yeah, it's a different game than what I thought we would have at the start of the season. When we did our predictions, I've literally predicted a comfortable win. You know, without Russell Wilson, the Seahawks haven't been so good over the last couple of years. And then suddenly this young man, Geno Smith, suddenly appears. You know, he's bounced around the league for 10, 12 years, been bombed out of everywhere. And suddenly he's going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback this year. He has rejuvenated that Seahawk team. Don't know quite how he's done it, because the guy was a complete and utter bust for the first 10 years of his career. But in fairness to him, doing really well, and he'll be a challenge to stop, both in the pocket and hand. He's got a tendency to run a bit as well. So, yeah, it's a different prospect than what we had in September.
Phil B, I mean, they've got some great wide receiver threats that we're going to have to be wary of.
Yeah, I mean, they've got threats all over the field, really. They got Noah Fant at tight end in the trade for Russell Wilson, who's obviously a quality player. They've got Lockett and obviously DK Metcalf, two really good wide receivers as well. You know, I'm not so sure I wouldn't trade Evans and Godwin for the two of those, for example, but they are two high-end receivers in this league. And then I think they were fortunate to have the injury to Penny earlier in the season, and Kenneth Walker, the rookie's come in and just absolutely lit it up, you know. He's a really exciting young player, and he's going to be tough to stop, you know, for a league or for a team who've had such a good run D over the last few years as we have. You know, we've been a bit leaky, I think, so far this season, and he's got the potential to absolutely run up a score against us. So it's a real threat. I think, like Tim, I had us down to win this quite comfortably at the start of the season. I didn't know where the Seahawks were going to get a win from. And, you know, suddenly they're 6-3 and they're top of their division, you know, in against three teams who all made the playoffs last year in the Cardinals, the Rams and the 49ers. So it's, you know, a real shock to see them performing so well. He's reincarnated as John Elway or something like that, you know, and putting up a real good performance. So it's a real interesting one, and it's certainly a tougher game than I thought we were going to have.
Phil J, I just want to go back to... You know, Tim was talking about Geno Smith, you know, rejuvenated the season. How do we stop him? As Tim said, he's on a roll. He's playing so well. What do we need to do to stop this guy on Sunday?
We've just got to get the edge rushers going at him, because he does take off. But, you know, one thing that Pete Carroll's done is he's got a good offensive line. The guy's got time to play. You've got to take that away from him. Because even I, like Tim said, I just can't get my head around this is the same Geno Smith. You know, Pete Carroll well, they're going to be talking about this for years to come, because, I mean, when everybody shook their heads in total disbelief in what he'd done, and he's just proved everybody wrong. But they've got to get at him. He doesn't like you know, sort of pressure all the time, you know, but he's had the time to do it. So let's take that away from him.
I mean, at the minute, you know, I think when everyone saw the Russell Wilson trade, I mean, I certainly thought, I mean, I was surprised to say the least, but I mean, right now it's looking like a stroke of genius. You know, look at Denver's and what Tim Carroll's managed to do with Gonville.
I was going to say, it's an interesting point that, you know, I watched
Tim Carroll, Pete Carroll.
Yeah, well, but he asked his brother, isn't it? We'll edit that bit. So no, I if you actually watch Seattle, they have got a, they gave him time on the ball, and it was interesting to me to watch that because Russell Wilson's gone to Denver, and I went to watch them play the Jags at Wembley, and he didn't play well at all. He had no time. He was running for his life most of the time, and then they put their tight end on the offensive line and started giving Wilson time, and he carved the Jags apart. And it's just, you know, every quarterback needs time, and that's what Geno Smith has got. He's got time to play. And, you know, they always say games, just championships are won in the trenches. Well, there's a perfect example of it at Seattle.
It's going to be tough, but Phil, you made
very tough.
Pressure tough, will take everything away. Pressure.
Absolutely. So let's round off, gents, as we always do. I want to get your score predictions for Sunday. So Phil B, how do you think this is going to end up?
I'm hoping for an offensive extravaganza, and I'm going for 31-24 to the Bucks. Touchdowns galore.
Love to see that. That'll be one heck of a game. Tim?
Well, I'm hoping the momentum of Sunday will continue and we'll win not quite that many, 27-17.
It's still a Bucks win. That's what we still care about on this podcast. Yeah. That's all we care about. And Phil J.
I think it's going to be very close, actually, 21-17. We don't do anything easily, do we? Let's come on. You know, we're the Buccaneers. We just don't, you know. Come back to what I say. I think this is one of the most important games we've played since the Super Bowl. If we can get that momentum going, we're off.
I have to say, Phil, I'm on the same lines as you. Phil, Jay, I'm on the same lines as you. I think it's going to be close. I'm not as optimistic as yourself, Phil B, in terms of the high scoring. So I've gone for a 20-13 victory to the Bucks. I think we will probably make it hard work for ourselves, because as you say, when do we not make it hard work for ourselves? But welcome to being a Bucks fan.
I will predict one thing. After seeing the watch party on Sunday night, the Bucks UK first drinking team is going to take everybody out. There's no two ways about that.
No one's jumping off the top tier to try and get down to the pitch to take over the game or anything.
Well, I'm talking about the Saturday night, not the Sunday game.
Oh, and Saturday night as well. Well, I mean, that'll be interesting. Gents, thank you ever so much for joining me on this episode. It's been a pleasure to talk Buccaneer football with you. Thank you everyone for watching. We will be back by next week, when we will of course be talking about the trip to Munich and the game. We hope to see as many of you over there as you can. We're all going to be there. It's going to be one heck of a weekend. Take care, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.